Hello and welcome to another episode of Smash Your Sports Show. My name is Hisham, joined today by Abdul Majid. How are you, Abdul Majid?
Very good.
Today is a Monday morning on the 4th of November.
Yeah, feeling the energy of the Monday morning.
Are you?
Yeah. Okay. There is no energy on Monday morning, to be honest, but yeah. Trying to feel the energy of the Monday morning.
Just one second. Our producer, I can hear some music in my ear. Thank you. Can you turn it off, please? Kirby's right. Just giving me some background music in my ears.
Yeah. So, we have a lot of interesting games coming up in the Saudi Pro League and in the AFC Champions League. And Jiu-Jitsu team also did good, right? So, we're going to talk about all of that.
Yeah. Mainly, we will start with Al-Nasr versus Al-Ain tomorrow in the Asian Champions League. Previously, I mentioned that Al-Ain has been performing not in their best form.
Yeah.
As you know, the fans had really high expectations of them winning Champions League last season.
Yeah.
And Al-Nasr winning Al-Hilal, which is one of the toppest teams in the GCC and the Middle East at the moment. But Al-Ain hasn't been really performing in the league, in the Champions League, also in the Intercontinental Championship that's heading. They had this African-Asian Cup against Al-Ahli and they lost 3-0 at Cairo Stadium. I think that the problem is really coming right now from the manager because, like Crespo is a legend. He's a legend, Argentinian national team ex-professional player. But I think he didn't add anything to the team this season. And, you know, the transfer window, he didn't really prepare very well for it. Me personally, I think if they lost this game against Al-Nasr, it's in his hand, you know, to be his last game or maybe the game that will save the season for him. So it's black and white.
Yeah.
There is no gray. This is how I see it.
Yeah, I saw they lost the opening fixture, then they lost two games. They're second to bottom in the table. Al-Ain's luck is not working. Crespo's magic is not working.
Mm-hmm.
The players, they're injury-free. I was looking at the injury table. Al-Nasr has an injury concern, but they're injury-free. He has a lot of players to select from. The only injury that is there is Sufyan Rahimi. Sami Al-Naiji. He will not be playing for Al-Nasr. He has a season-long injury. He just got his cruciate ligament surgery. So Al-Nasr will miss him. But apart from that, both teams are fine. They don't have any injury concerns. Yeah. I don't know what's happening.
And even sometimes in the formation,
the
squad that starts the game, like he lost the last game 3-0 against Al-Ahli.
Yeah.
He drew it against Dibal Hist in the league.
Yeah.
Okay, he lost against Al-Hilal 5-4. He won the President Cup against Hatta Club.
Yeah.
But to be fair, I said that cup games aren't really predictable. He lost against Al Wahda 2-1. Before that, he lost against Al Gharraf in the Champions League 4-2. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. In his last 8 games, he only won 1 game, drew 1 game, and lost 6 games.
Yeah.
So
they're not doing good, basically.
They
have a team which they had last season. It's not like they changed something or some big star player left or something happened. It's the same team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nearly the same team.
Yeah.
So it's just, I guess, mainly down to either tactics or the players are not happy with the manager or the manager is not happy with the players. There is something happening in the background. It's not on the field.
Yeah.
So that background thing always affects.
It's not really in the background. I see that they haven't prepared well for the season.
Yeah.
Especially when you can see teams in Saudi preparing very well each season than the season before. They didn't really think of that because they thought like Al-Nasr had Ronaldo, Al-Hilal with their big team, and they won both teams last year and they won the Champions League. So they thought they had a big structure. Yeah. They have a big structure, but your competitive teams, not only in UAE, but in Saudi, and all the teams are like competing in the Champions League. They prepared much more.
I was looking at the start. It's very weird. The last time Al-Ain won in the AFC Champions League was in December 2023.
I think that was the final game.
Yeah. After that, they have drawn one and lost 4 matches in the AFC Champions League. So, not good.
I think it's a season for them to understand and to get things paper their papers right. Get
complacent after winning a title or two, you become like, okay, we've won it, we're the best team, and then you go into the season and you realize, no, everyone else is preparing better than you.
Because when you win such a championship, like the Champions League, the Asian Champions League, you prepare for the next season, you build on it. But they had this opportunity that they saw that they are the big team. You can feel that, you know. You have big teams such as Real Madrid. They win the Champions League. You see them the season after getting Mbappe.
Yeah.
Just as a reference. But
you need to prepare for the next season. Looking at other teams, it's always like, don't just sit on your laurels. Think about what you're going to do next season. Okay, you won the trophy, that's past.
There's the transfer window happening in Jan. Yeah. Hopefully they can get a player or two that can really, you know, take the team.
Looking at the lineups, the probable lineups, not the lineups. Issa, Lahbabi, Cardoso, Otton, Eric, Park, Nader, Belushi, Romero, Palacios, Rahimi. They need someone in this, at least one star player to like lift up the morale, I guess. Yeah. Not like just come in and, but maybe lift up the morale. Do this one thing that everyone looks at and like, oh, we needed this kind of energy in the field. Yeah. You know, Nasser, you always expect Ronaldo to just walk and everyone will be like, oh, energy, energy. Yeah. That his presence is itself energy. The crowd gives him energy. Everything is energy when you're with Ronaldo. They need a player of that kind, Alain, I guess.
Game is happening tomorrow at 10 p.m. UAE time. It's happening at Al Awal Park at King Saud University. And I predict that this will be the last game for Crespo.
Yeah.
Because if you look at Al Nasr,
you really want him to go away, right?
Not that I really want.
But his performances don't make him.
I really don't agree with the mentality of coaches who. This is my personal point of view, but I don't really agree with coaches who has a very good board team. And actually, Al Ain is the top team in Abu Dhabi. And having them just winning a Champions League, but you have facilities.
Yeah.
Okay. You have a board team supporting you. Okay. You have the whole club supporting you. Take it.
And use it and for get something a player good.
Too. Why didn't you think getting a big star or two, adding more to the teams that will push the team much more, have squad of a high quality?
Basically, obviously, the players there are
high quality, but why not have it in a higher quality?
Yeah.
I don't really want him to go, but if you have facilities and you don't use them, everything. It's your blame.
Yeah.
Because these are the same players you won the Champions League with last season.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean? And especially you have Al Nasr coming back from a very, very, very good ambition because they drew against Al Hilal 4 days ago. Everyone was expecting that this would be the first game for Al Nasr to lose because you see in the stands, like Al Hilal did not lose any games, they did not drew any games, but Al Nasr tied a few games, but they never lost a game. Yeah. So everyone was seeing who will be with them first team to
lose the match,
to lose a game in the league. And
they drew again.
Yeah.
No one lost still. Al Nasr and them, Al Hilal, 1-1 draw. Yeah, and Al Nasr are 19 points, third place, 6 points behind Al Hilal now.
First three teams in the league now, in the Saudi league, it's like the gap is only a game or two.
Yeah.
So that makes it very competitive. And also in this game, you had Talisca scored in the first minute. You know,
first
so that really applied a pressure on Al Hilal because if this goal wasn't scored, I think
they would have lost.
Not they would have lost. The game would have, the scenario would have changed. But conceding a goal in the first minute is like you're starting one down.
Yeah.
So Mitrovic, he's actually having a great season this season, better than last season. He's making more goals. He's making more assists. Yeah. He's evolving more inside the box.
Finally, he's understood. Like, he's acclimatized to the Saudi Pro League, understood the players, the way they play. Maybe he's getting now the feel of it, actual feel of, oh, I am here, so better show up.
Yes. And also, Al Hilal has this thing that is very different, that each player comes to the team, adapts. And Al Hilal fans were really surprised by Neymar, because he came back in his game against Al Ain. Two games have happened after that, and he did not participate. So everyone is now questioning, was he fully recovered? Because Al Ain game, he played like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But is he ready? Is he back? He just came for an injury.
Maybe they're not forcing him into the whole 90 minutes. They want him to like come in again, feel it, and then like be Neymar, the Neymar that we all know.
But when you come back from an injury, very big injury, you will start taking 10 minutes, 15 minutes for the first couple of games. But he played only one game, and then the next two games he's out of the squad. Yeah. He's not even on the bench. So people are wondering, is he in a good fit? Is he stable? Is he, like, maybe when he played, he still didn't feel himself. He felt that maybe he needs more time.
Yeah, player wouldn't know. Like,
nothing clarified.
A player, like, a level of Neymar would know that, oh, I'm not ready yet to make a comeback. So maybe he drew back. Maybe the team saw that he's not ready. So hopefully he will be back. He is a big name. Almost we want him to play in the league, obviously.
It almost took him 12 months to be back.
Yeah.
But I think he's still not ready. Yeah. I can tell that he's still not ready. But talking everyone is having high expectations.
Ronaldo is playing the game.
Huh?
He's fit. He's playing the game. He hasn't scored in the last three games, Ronaldo. So most probably he'll be raring to go. So yeah, odds are in favor of Al Nassr. He has Mane to support him, and he has a lot of other players. To be honest, being a star in a side is always good. Everyone is looking for you to give you the ball. So we have Bento, Al-Ghanam, Simakan, Laporte. Good defender. Mm-hmm. He's here. Bouchal, Al-Khebri, Brozovic, Otavio, Talisca, Mane, Ronaldo. Probable lineup for Al-Nassr.
A bit of rumors have been heard that Real Madrid are trying to sign Laporte in Jan. As after their defense, Militao and Rüdiger are not really performing well. And what's best about Laporte, that you see him playing in a Saudi league for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay. That last season and this season. And you can also see him like a main player in the national team.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the important part.
And he was there for the Euros. He's a Euro winner. I don't think he
still has 2 or 3 years. I believe that he has, even if he's not like the main defender in a team, he can play a very good supporting role with his experience with City, obviously. City won nearly everything when he was there, him.
But I think Laporte doesn't stand to be a bench.
Yeah.
You know? He doesn't stand to be a bench. Because in Manchester City, he was always the first one.
Yeah.
When things start to shake off a bit for him, Aki, Akanji, Stones, their football is a bit higher. He decided to take that journey and move to Saudi. He's been performing very well with the team. He also like showed good efficiency. That's why he was selected for the Spanish national team. I think he's a very good player, working on himself, just being professional and just trying to be there. But having a main player of the national team of Spain, and obviously we have that across many teams in Saudi, but I don't think he can go back, because if he went back to Madrid, it's going to be like a season or two.
Yeah, just to fill in the space so they can find, give Real Madrid more time to find someone else.
Yeah, but
or make a deal with someone else.
But you have a chance now to be Al Nassr and grab a trophy together that will push the league ahead. Mm. So yeah, the weekend was
your prediction, Al Nassr winning. Obviously, it's a very clear thing.
My prediction?
I don't think with the form that Ali are in, they'll win. It's going to be a close game. Obviously, always good teams fighting each other. It's going to be a very good game. But Al Nassr, odds are in their favor. The team is
I usually select a team.
Yeah.
But this one, I would call it a 50-50.
Okay.
Because both teams want to wake up.
Yeah.
And this is their chance. Especially, it's a Champions League game. But like, to be fair, like, I'm a supporter. If my team doesn't win the league, but they win the Champions League, I don't
care. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I remember the Liverpool days. They've won the Champions League. We don't care about it.
If you're eliminated from the Champions League, at least win the league.
Yeah.
This is how it
goes. This or that. At least do something, right?
If Al Ain finished, like, mid of the table in the league, but they
win the Champions League.
They won the Champions League, or like,
At least one trophy, right? At least win one trophy. Yeah. Not the community shield, like in Premier League. Everyone hates the community. Like, oh, just the community shield. Yeah. But yeah, at least win something. One of the big trophies, right? One of the... maybe win, like in Premier League, maybe win FA Cup at least. Like Mourinho in Madrid. Mourinho with Manchester United.
Mm-hmm.
The seasons after everything went wrong for them. He won the FA Cup at least, and he was happy with it. And
he won the Europa League as well.
Yeah, he won the Europa League. So yeah, he won something at least. So people were somewhat happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
So at least, yeah, win something. Don't like go second places or everything in all events. So that's the main thing. Let's see. Yeah, your point is absolutely right that both of them have something to lose. Al Hilal, they lose, they extend their losing streak. Al Nassr, they lose. They lose and they won't be happy with it. No one likes losing, I guess.
It's going to be tough for them for the league because they played 5 games. They only got 8 points, 2 wins, 2 draws. 2 wins. Oh, okay, sorry. 2 wins, 2 draws and a loss. They only got 8 points. And you have Shabab Al Ahli on the first place with 18 points. That's a 10
point difference. Season start.
That turns into... 3 losses and a draw. That's like, you know, 3-6-9. Yeah,
it's not going to be their season. That is why. Al Nassr, to be honest. This match, Al Nassr.
Al Nassr.
Let's give it to Al Nassr.
But we would go more of a 60-40 to Al Nassr.
Yeah. Not the big margin, but yeah, some chances are in their favor.
This is how I imagine it in my head. Like, you know, I'm a manager. I go into the dressing room knowing that if I lost this game, things will go bad. Yeah. I speak to my players that, this is a decisive game for you guys in order to show respect.
I'll go in the room and I'll be like, fans, if you want me as the manager, just win the game. For because me, if we lose, I'm out.
And to be fair, if I have Casper in a changing room telling me you win this game for me, I can't get you winning, but I'll put my 100%. And they play so good football.
Yeah.
Like the tactics, it's so good. Like, but yeah.
Not winning. So maybe they need a change of heart and mind. Yeah, the last time I saw they met in the last time these two teams met in the quarterfinal when Al Ain was going to win last season. So they met in the quarterfinals. The match went to penalties after a 4-4 draw. A good high scoring match last time. And eventually Al Ain won and then they won the Champions League. So again, good high end drama expected tomorrow, Tuesday.
Moving on to the Arabian Gulf League. On the round 7, you had Al Khalij drew against the Balhisn 1-1. Ajman won against Al Batayh 2-1. Ittihad Kalba, big victory 3-0. And Al Nasr drew against Al Wahda. And Al Nasr, like, they lost 2 games, then they won 2 games. People said they're back.
Yeah.
Then they drew this game. So, league
not consistent.
Yeah,
right
the league, to be fair, is a bit crazy and it's very competitive because you've got Shabab Al Ahli on the first place with 6 games, 18 points. Al Sharjah with 7 games, 18 points. Al Wahda 14 points. Al Jazeera on a 4th place with 13. Al Nasr with the same amount of games and same amount of points. And then you had Ittihad Kalba 10 points, Al Wasl 9 points, and Al Ain in the 8th position with 8 points also. So I think this season is going to be very decisive between Shabab Al Ahli and Sharjah, especially Shabab Al Ahli has won the last 5 games out of all
six out of six.
They won the last 5 games also in other competition. Also in the league they played 6 games, 6 wins.
Nice.
And you have Sharjah also played 7 games, a game ahead because you had Shabab Al Ahli and Al Ain match has been postponed due to the Super Cup between the African and Asian Super Cup. It's a new competition made by FIFA. So it's going to be very important. You have Shabab Al Ahli next game against Ittihad Kalba. I think it's not going to be an easy game, but also it's not going to be a hard game because you also had Ittihad Kalba just... won their last game 3-0. You have Sharjah against Al Nasr. That's a very big derby between Sharjah and Dubai. Al Wahda will play Al Wasl. That's also a derby between Dubai, Bar Dubai, and Abu Dhabi. Al Jazeera against Al Ain. That's a big derby. that's a classical. It's a classical because it's Abu Dhabi and Ajman. So yeah, I think the first seven teams in the league will play against each other in the next round. So wish all the best to the teams and you know, Shabab Al Ahli are being performing very high in basketball, also very high.
Also?
Yeah,
nice.
Basketball.
Maybe they're investing, they're doing something about sports, right? Again, it depends on what's happening in the background as well. It's not always like you get a good player and everyone starts playing better.
I think Shabab Al Ahli came from this perspective because Al Ahli Club and Al Shabab, when they did this collaboration and it's become Shabab Al Ahli, they've been working very hard together to, you know, in order, you know, let's put our hands together and just do something. I think they invested very well in the last four or five years. That's why you can see them performing very high, and apart from football, also on basketball and also in handball. So, yeah, they like last season in basketball, they won everything except for the Emirates Cup.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So, yeah.
Great team, and you have like 5 to 7.
It takes a lot of planning. Yeah. It's not just like you wake up one day and you become a better team.
And then you have 5 to 7 national team players from their basketball team in the national team. Also, the national team had a camp yesterday in Sharjah preparing for their next game against Lebanon and Bahrain. That's going to be happening on the 22nd and the 25th. Hopefully, we can cover for you all the training sessions behind the scenes and inside the game secrets through Smashy Sports. Let's jump to the Saudi League.
Yeah.
How do you see the Saudi League so far till now?
Al Hilal is clearly the favorite there. They've just drawn one match, won 8 out of 9, 25 points, very comfortably sitting, but obviously getting some competition from Al Ittihad. 24 points, I see, one loss. Al Nasser, the Ronaldo Al Nasser.
The Ronaldo.
UAE League, and they both have Al Nasser. So, yeah, 19 points, 4 draws. That's the highlight of their season right now, what I see. They haven't lost. They're like, okay, if we go out, we'll go out it with at least a draw.
Can you predict out of the first 3 teams who can win the league? I know it's too early, it's only 9 games, so, but...
You look, see, what I see look at the goals they have scored. So goal difference wise, they're not that separated as well.
Mm-hmm. And even points.
And like a 6-point difference at the start of the season for Al Nasser, not losing. If they start winning, they'll easily catch up. So, yeah, goal difference-wise, even I think they're doing good. They're doing 24 goals Al Hilal have scored in their 9 matches. That's like three goals? Mm-hmm. 2 goals at least per match. 24 goals for Al Ittihad, 19 for Ronaldo-led Al Nasser. So, yeah, it's not big on goal difference. Even goals against are 7-8-8.
Yeah, it's very close.
So they're very close in goal difference as well. And obviously, the season won't go to goal difference, but it shows that all of them are scoring. They are being scored again, but they're scoring goals. So it's very close. Mm-hmm. To be honest, it's very close. But again, whoever is the table topper, I always believe in them.
Let me give
and
you
they should win. You're the table topper. You've got a position, maintain it. Yeah.
They had a streak of 4 games, but they drew the last game against Al Nasr. And you have Al-Hajjah, they're performing very high than last season. Al Nasr, this is their second draw in a row after winning 3 consecutive wins.
They have.
But let me just kick it off.
With them. Yeah. They have Mitrovic, good players. What else do you need? Ruben Neves, bro. One of my favorite players. To be honest, he's a very underplayed player. Like, no one talks about him a lot. I remember when he came to Wolves, I was really happy because I could select him in my FPL squad. His long-range shooting, everything that he does from the midfield. Great
he used to play
player.
For Wolves.
Yeah?
Wolves.
Yeah, he used to play for Wolves. Huh? Yeah. When he moved to Wolves, I remember everyone was talking about his long-range shoots. And those were like crazy. It's not like a planned long shoot. Mm-hmm. You would just randomly bounce the ball and hit it and it's a goal. So I remember him from that. Mm-hmm. Used to always have in my... FBS
he's also a young player. He's like 26, 27. So
money, bro, money.
Yeah. Let me give you a round.
Money makes the moves. He moved there for money, to be honest. Yeah. But he's a good player. Again, I still believe that Saudi needs to find more players. Ronaldo, Neymar, potential Ronaldo's Neymar. They're right now, they're big stars. Some of them are at retirement age. Ronaldo is definitely at retirement age. Neymar, retirement age. A lot of people...
Ronaldo's not going to retire until he has 1,000 goals.
Yeah, that's not the problem. The only problem is people who enter that retirement period, they're coming, But these young stars coming, it shows that the league has some good potential. Yeah. It's not just like Ronaldo's who are like, okay, I'm 40 now, need to get more money in. Some people who actually believe that they can go and make, obviously make money, that's no problem. It can be your primary concern, but at least play good football as well. So it's not only about money that people are now moving to Saudi Pro League.
Yeah, I get money is very important, and mainly people discuss that when it's related to Saudi or the GCC, yeah. It's just about the money. But no, you know,
there's good football happening as well. That's the good part.
People think about things in a different way, but I don't want to go into that. How much of that player sacrificed to earn this money? You know, at the end, everyone gets what he deserves to get. But like, I was speaking with Cairo on Friday about this topic. Is that what is the most thing you do, and like you do it while you're doing it, you feel like that you're not doing it.
Playing football. Whatever thing you love, I guess.
Apart from me or you, like in general, I think if when you answer that question, this is the thing that you like to do. So, for example, if you're gonna go, for example, to a club that will pay you less, but you'll be enjoying your football there more, you know,
you will go.
That's where I will go. But other people might have the other perspective where you can take more money, but just go to.
To be honest, we can safely say that a majority of people will go for the money because they'll be like, I'll still be playing football, right?
Mm-hmm.
Majority. But obviously, people who love football, who love the game, they may take if they don't have big responsibilities or if they don't have big plans to invest in something, they may go for the love of football to a club where they'll get 20, 30 minutes. Maybe they'll start on the bench, but they'll start with a good team and they'll have good 20 minutes rather than having 90 plus minutes with a club where they won't enjoy themselves.
But for example, if a team offers you 20 and a team offers you 5, but that team who offered you 20... it's not the kind of football you want. So you go there for a season, everything's screwed up for you, then you're gone, and you go back taking one, or two.
Yeah.
But you can say that other team who offered you 5, and you growing 5, 7, 10, and then you end up yourself making like
more than 30, 20.
40, more than what you decide.
So
That's my perspective. Because
understand, it's not just about football. Overall, you go to any industry, sometimes people do go for the commercial aspect of it. Everyone wants to make money quick and easy. So, for example, if I get let's talk about music industry, just for an example. Both are passion-driven, right? You love
Smashy
music, you love to sing.
Music segment
by
Abdul Majid.
It's just that passion, like emotions and passions are the main core of sports, music, a lot of things. So you go to the music industry, you'll see a lot of stars, big stars, even now they don't sell their music to movies and stuff. But I recently, I was reading a report where they have started selling their music for big studios. Thor Ragnarok, their theme song, the Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin, they never sold any song to any studio. They sold it to Thor, finally. So eventually, everyone goes that path because they realize, okay, now we're not making enough money. So, it happens. But the good part was, commercially, whenever anything becomes more commercial and less about the game or the music, it ruins it.
I love your business insights.
Yeah.
And I love your business
insights. I'll give you examples. Fernando Torres.
Yeah, Nino.
Where was he playing and where did he become Fernando Torres?
Atletico Madrid.
Atletico. And then he moved to Liverpool.
And then he moved to Liverpool.
He was flying. Yeah. And then where did he go? For money?
He went to Chelsea.
Chelsea.
He passed through the keeper and he shot it outside. He's finished.
His career finished at Chelsea. Why? No, because he made a money move.
But Torres made a good impact. I remember his goal back against Barcelona.
For Chelsea?
In the Camp Nou.
Once or twice.
Yeah.
Liverpool, he was doing that every day. Every match, every game, everyone was like, okay, Fernando Torres is our guy. He's going to score. He'll do wonders every game, every minute. Chelsea, he just took the money and went there. So commercially, a lot of things get ruined when you move for money. So
it's very
coming
hard,
back to the main point.
It's very
a lot
hard.
Of people move to Saudi for money, to be honest. At the start, it was the first like
impression
days for them, first impression. But now we see clearly that because of a lot of stars coming, the football quality has improved. So a lot of people now who are making the money move, they at least know they have some good football happening there as well. So they have a double motive. It's not just money now.
I think you can only... I'll be honest with you. I mainly had that perspective when it all started. And when you see like Neymar posting
Everyone
something, can, yeah. He will get that certain amount, Ronaldo's getting that amount. But really, when I start looking at the league, after especially doing this podcast, or smashy show, like I'm a man, I would watch football every day.
Yeah.
Even before I sleep, I just open talk shows about football, podcasts about football.
Yeah. Or maybe just watch some highlights, some of your favorite moments, right?
You know, I can watch a 50-minute video saying the most, when players get heated on the ground, you didn't know about.
I would watch that. And I would know half of the things that happened. But I'll still see them again. The it's best, just how you are. Right?
Fair play, 1 hour. Yeah. Fair play games that first time for you to see.
Yeah.
Players getting angry on pitch.
Fighting with ref.
Fighting with ref. And I would see, I would watch, you know. Me looking deep into the Saudi League, I'm being fair. Like, right now, I don't watch the Premier League. You know? Like, right now, Liverpool were playing. Not yesterday. Was it before yesterday?
Yeah.
We're playing against Brighton. Okay? And Salah plays there. And, you know, Egyptians. Yeah. Salah, when Salah comes, you know?
Didn't see. Like, okay, I'll watch something else.
I just watched Salah's goal.
And even that you can see in the recap. They're like, okay, what did Salah do, right?
But me watching highlights of the Saudi League 20 and 40, 20 minutes, 15 minutes of the full games.
So you're actually enjoying the football that's happening.
That
right?
shows when you give another perspective about something, it changes your mind, you know? Let me give you a roundup of the fixture number 9 in the league. Al Fatah drew against Al Fayha 1-1, Al Ta'awun and Al Khulud 1-1. Al Ittifaq lost against Al Qasidiya. Al Qasidiya has Nacho, center back of Real Madrid and national team of Spain. They won 2-0 against Al Ittifaq. Al Khaliji won a big win 4-0 against Al Ra'id. Dahmak 2-2, and Al Nasr and Al Hilal. We talk about they drew 1-1. We'll list out the teams by the first ranking. Al Hilal played 9 games, 25 points. It had Jeddah. 9 games, 24 points. Mm-hmm. Al Nasr, 19. Shabab Al Ahli in a 4th position with 18. Al Qasidiya, 16 points. And Al Riyadh, 14 points. Al Khaliji, 13 points. And Al Ta'awun, 12 points. And this is what I want to mention. Ahli Jeddah with 11 points from 9 games. They, in their last 5 games, they lost 3 times, drew the game, and only won 1 game.
Yeah.
People are having a very different expectation. Al Hilal today, Al Ahli today has a very game, very important game against Shortet Baghdad.
Yeah.
The game is happening at King Abdullah Sports City. What's happening to Al Ahli? What's happening to Al Ahli?
Nothing's happening. They're playing bad.
Well, they got Ivan Toney, big transfer from the Premier League. He was booming in the last 2 seasons in the Premier League.
It's just that some players come with a lot of energy and then they're like, okay, if I score a goal, I'll get money. If I don't score a goal, if I make a save, I'll get the same money. So again, complacency. It's one of the biggest evils in sport. That you come and you see that, oh, maybe I'll get the same money, no problem. Even with teams, they play bad. They play good one season or one match and they feel like, okay, we're the best team. And then the next 10 matches, they'll lose just sitting on that win. So that is what's happening to Al Ahly, to be honest. It's always complacency that seeps in.
Yeah,
you just have to like wake up every day with a new, new energy, I guess, that, oh, we have to win today.
I think when Maximum left, and he plays in Turkey now, under Mourinho, I predict. I think he made a big difference in the team, because they have, like, Riyad Mahrez, Roberto Firmino, getting a good strike. Frank Kisi, he's coming from Barcelona. They have a good team that they could build around. But I think fans were expecting something higher from them, especially they were playing in the, they were in a second league division 2 years ago. They qualified to the first league last year, and everyone have impact that, you know, Al Ahli would hit back, you know.
Yeah, going back to the point, like retiring players, like Firmino, obviously Firmino, star, I love him, but again, retiring players coming. They can share their expertise. They can do everything, but they can't win you every match. Ivan Toney is the only thing that makes them stand out for me. Riyad Mahrez is also past his prime. He passed his prime when he won the title for Leicester. And after that, he was never Riyad Mahrez.
Apart from them being 8 or 9 in the league, in the Champions League, they played 3 games. They have 9 points.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. Something's happening.
What is it different? Like, you know, do they have like the second team in the league?
They had like easy teams. Maybe that is why I didn't see their matches, the Champions League matches. But it happens. Some teams I've seen over the years watching football that some teams are only meant for one tournament. Like they would love one tournament, win everything there, but every other place where you send them, they feel like a completely different team. Maybe it's the case with them. Mm-hmm. They're playing well in the Champions League, but not playing well in their own league. So maybe it's that. Maybe it's the energy of the tournament. It can happen. Maybe all of them have like ADHD. They feel good in front of a crowd, and in their own game, they're like, okay, I don't want to play. So yeah, there can be multiple reasons, but they have a good enough team. They should be in the top 5, not if the top 10, top 3.
Top 10.
Yeah, sorry. They should be at least in the top 5 or top 6 clubs.
Yeah.
I
think they should be in a top.
Yeah, at least the top
3
5.
3 teams or like 4 teams.
Yeah.
Because so I would mainly see
Al Shabab is there, Al Qadisiyah. Let's look at some of the players that they have. No big name, to be honest. No big name coming from outside. There's Wesley Hoyt.
Just not yeah. True, yeah.
So it's mainly they're not doing something right. I don't know what. We'll have to see. We'll have to find out. Next episode, I'll find out what they're doing wrong.
Let's move on to our final story of the day. The UAE team retained the Jiu-Jitsu World Championship title for the 5th successive year. Clinched 2 gold medals, 3 silver and 4 bronze in 3-day event in Greece.
Yeah.
Big win.
9 medals.
Big win. Mm. To be fair, like, I see how really the clubs here take care of Jiu-Jitsu.
Because it's one of those events that not...
Why don't I feel it? Why don't I hear about it? You know?
It's just one of the events where like sports like Jiu-Jitsu, Taekwondo, even Karate, all these have world championships. But it's just the fancy football, tennis, cricket, the big 5-6 sports that get the highlight. I don't know. Maybe they're not flashy enough, the events.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the reason. Because when you go to Olympics, you see so many events. And the very first time you'll be looking at it and you're like, okay, this is a sport. But Jiu-Jitsu has been here for a long time. It's not like it just started like a decade ago.
Yeah.
Jiu-Jitsu has been here for a very, very long time. But still, they don't get that kind of limelight that you should expect. 5th consecutive time, they're retaining the championship. I don't know. Maybe. But UAE has this good habit. They will highlight them as much as they can.
Yeah.
UAE always hails its heroes very high. That's the good part about this country.
Yeah,
so they will get some recognition at least. Mm. So it was Umar Al-Suwaidi, Khalid Al-Shehi. They captured gold in 56 kg category and 62. Mm-hmm. Balkis Abdul Karim, 45 kg. Zayed Al-Kathiri, Muhammad Al-Suwaidi. They took silver, so 3 silver medals. Mm-hmm. And Aisha Al-Shamsi, Mehta Sharem. They got bronze. So, yeah.
Heroes, to be months. Fair, heroes. Like, this is their
fifth consecutive national
like, yeah.
team win
they're,
I think in the World Championship.
Because, you know, if you have a generation just taking things back home for the 5th time in a row, like, that's the generation that you call it, like, a golden generation. Yeah. And you need to build up upon that. And I'm sure the UAE national team and even the clubs, they really take good care of the sport. Before we end the episode, wanted to share with you, Precision has won their last game.
Nice.
Against Regina Sports on a 2-0 victory, making them the first in the second division UAE League.
Nice.
It was live on Smashy Sports. Yep. Hopefully, if you want to watch all the Precision home games happening in Abu Batuta Stadium Mall, you can also watch it on Smashy TV.
Yeah.
Great win. Excited that, you know, it's that we streamed the game.
And they won.
We can stream the games. First game was stream. They won 2-0 and they're top of the league. Very, very good team building ambition. Hopefully, I'm sure we're gonna see a lot of teams in the first league in UAE in the Gulf League very, very soon. I think this is well the season and actually the league will be more competitive. It is competitive now.
It is.
But you will have like, also you have Shabab Al Ahli, you have Al Wasl, you have Al Nasr, you have Al Jazeera, you have like 5-6 top team. Some goes up and some goes down, but adding like 4 other 5 clubs such as Precision, Dubai Irish, you know, the Falcons, etc. A lot of teams, great teams are investing in their teams and clubs in the last 3-4 years. Yeah. Specifically, you would see them in the league. That would make it competitive. Thank you, Majid. Thank you for today's episode. It's always nice to have you and giving that sport business perspective inside the episode. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for... I want you to do something before in the episode, I'll tell you. Just want to say thank you for everyone listening to us and watching us. Tune in on your favorite podcast platform, Apple Podcast, YouTube, Music, Anghami, and Spotify. Also, you can watch the full episode on Smashy TV. Download it on your laptop, TV, smartphone, website, wherever you have a digital technology. Just put Smashy TV and you'll find us.
Oh, this is the Smashy Business Show, part of the Smashy Business Production, part of the larger Augustus Media Podcast Network, which has 1.3 million listeners across the board.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
See you on Friday, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.